This is a podcast from The Times. Go to thetimes.co.uk. The Rugby World Cup from The Times with Mark Suster.
We'll be with you every week with the latest from the tournament, looking at the prospects for the home nations and the other big guns, of course, and reviewing all the action on and off the field.
Find it at thetimes.co.uk or in iTunes.
The Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world.
Hello, Buglers, and welcome to Bugle issue 167. Oh, who am I kidding? It's just not happening. It is not happening this week. Don't worry, this is not because Rupert Murdoch has us imprisoned on his world-renowned jail yacht for naughty journalists. It's not that, it's because all laughter has been banned. Why would that affect the Bugle, some of you might be asking. Fair point, but that was also, to be fair, a lie. It's actually because John is busy filming something for television, supposedly, and then going to the Grammys, or Emmys, or his grannies, or my dead dog, Emsies. I can't remember, the phone line was pretty crackly. Anyway, he's probably just got some pro-celebrity charity sumo wrestling thing on at the MGM Grand in Vegas. I think it's him and 1980s sumo legend Chiona Fuji versus Charlize Theron and Madeleine Albright. Albright's the pro in that combo. Not the biggest or the strongest, but boy, could she strop out in the doyo in her heyday. Anyway, the upshot is that the world is going to remain unsatirised for another week. Apologies to all those who suffer injustice, persecution, death or serious injury as a result. So here instead is another Bugle 166 sub-episode, sub-episode Gamma, this time with more from the 2011 Oliver and Zaltzman comeback special gig in Edinburgh in August. We'll be back next week with a long-awaited Bugle 167. And I realise after all this time, we'd better make it a good one. Have a good week. Goodbye.
Tony's theory about God, because he's nothing for so long, and when he does anything, it's just bafflingly out of character. I have this theory that God has, in fact, had a stroke. Possibly brought about by the stress of his son dying so young.
Well, whose f***ing fault was that?
Yeah, well, exactly. His own, you know, he did certainly have residual feelings of guilt about his role in the matter. Not all fathers suffer from that, I guess, but
he was guilty. Under the rules of the day, he was guilty.
I'd nail the f***er up again if I got the chance. He cost us a lot of market share, that's all. And if that routine is wrong, Lord, strike me down now. Bit of a high-risk gambit, but I think God really needs to sort himself out. And he's only ever credited with natural disasters. People say this is God punishing us for the way we live. If this is how God punishes the human race with natural disasters, and look where he sends his biggest and worst catastrophes, the only conclusion you can possibly draw is that God is racist. He clearly hates Africa, and Asia is generally bottom of his Christmas card list. Now, of course, God's supporters would then spring to his defence and say, well, he's from a different generation. Doesn't understand the issues. But I really think it is time now for God to do something, because he's done absolutely nothing for 2,000 years now. Right. He's been sat around on his big, fat, lazy, celestial arse doing Jack K shit for two solid millennia.
And it's... Oi! Zaltzman, take that back. That is a slur.
God.
Sorry.
God, you're undercutting the natural authority.
Yes, I've had two antihistamines. God is allergic to, nuts.
You shouldn't have fucking invented them.
That's well, that's God for you.
Well, just think, you know, your work has been really disappointing. I mean, the 20th century was a complete mess. It was two stars at best, and it read like a one. And you've not really started the 21st century any better than that. It's pathetic.
Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. Well, why don't you take a look in your pocket?
Ooh. What's he done? What's in your...
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Well, what...
Uh-huh.
What's... what's that?
That is my latest divine creation.
Well, looks like a tomato.
Tomato.
You've invented that before. Oh, man, for sake.
What do you say, God? What do you say? Tomato, tomato. Potato, potato.
Let's call the whole thing...
Boom.
Let's call the whole thing a little red squishy...
Wow. God, G-Unit just went blue.
It went blue. That was the bluest thing you said since telling Abraham to chop the end of his wang off.
Now that was one f*** of a stag do. You don't need it when you're married. You don't need it when you're married. Am I right? I'm right.
Oh, Jesus, this could come up against us at the pearly gates.
Ooh. Well, to be honest, John, in your film career, you've done worse. So...
250 million and counting. The Belgian and the Spanish are still going back for more, number one in Turkey.
And of course, of all the counselling for all the people who've seen it as well. You know, it's just a fact that... But God, this just looks like an ordinary tomato. Just, we've invented that before. It's just not that impressive.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But this tomato has got a yolk.
Ooh. Ooh.
I am halfway to creating the complete all-in-one breakfast. All I need now is to whack it in a couple of mushrooms, a hash brown, and wrap a bit of bacon around it. Well, maybe not bacon for you two.
I just... You know, I think bacon's delicious and I'd eat it now.
You can't fight that evidence, John. That's just,
If that was directed to me, I couldn't quite hear it, and for where I currently am, I cannot see the stage.
Really? I thought you could see everything.
No, I am everywhere. I can't see everything.
Yeah.
So, to be honest...
It's a loophole and it's a bloody nightmare at times. It's actually the explanation for all the natural disasters.
To be honest, God, I mean, you've been quite unlucky. You are the first person in history who's ever tried to get to an Oliver and Zaltzman gig and not been able to see it.
That's just a fact.
So,
well, thanks for coming,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, thanks, sir.
Thanks for coming, God.
Thanks, God.
No problem.
Best, yeah. What do you think of the show?
Whoa, what was that noise?
Well, it's not really my sort of thing. I find political comedy a bit preachy, to be honest.
We've tried... That's a bit f***ing rich coming from you. For f***'s sake. I said this, I said that, do this, do that.
If that's an impression of me, Andy, it's not strong. Andy, why don't you do one of your other impressions?
All right, Lord.
I command it! Do your Marvin Gaye!
All right. here it is, Marvin Gaye. Hello, Dad. You look cross.
And God rested.
Does not bring back any memories of your own son? So, bad parenting. Bad f***ing parenting.
Oh, you're a fine one to talk. Dragging the family up to Edinburgh for a week and a half.
Well, they always wanted to see Russell Kane. You know, that's
it's a fair point. He's getting strong write-ups even now. The year after the award is a tough year. God should know. What do you do? What do you do? Do you capitalise? Do you try something different?
God, in many ways, God, I think you've showed people the way in what not to do. God, you had it all a decade ago, God, and you pissed it up the wall.
Well, God thinks you should f*** off. You Yankee Doodle shitbag.
Thanks for coming to the gig, God. Thanks very much.
No problem. He probably need to reset it before you bring an act on.
All right, well, you used to be a comedian, didn't you? So I'll take your word for that.
Fair point. Used to be a comedian, of course. Won everything you could win. Branched out into theatre. Nailed that. So really, the all-in-one breakfast is all that's left.
So,
bye for now, bye.
Thanks very much. So, well, I think, let's just bring it down a bit. are you crime fans? So there's a lot of concern over, a lot of confusion over what you're legally allowed to do to a burglar before, if you catch a burglar burgling your house, what are you legal? What would you do? What would you people of Edinburgh do? What would be your, if you were lucky enough to catch a burglar, what would you do to it? John Smeaton them. You'd kick him in the balls. Taxidermy. Well, the problem with taxidermy, madam, is that if you're doing it on a burglar, it has to be preceded by murder. So do you have the kit? And or do you just have a bread knife and a jar of vinegar? So use what you got. Very, very valuable lesson to us all. So there is some confusion, and the government tried to clear it up. They issued a statement. The Home Office issued a statement a while ago. They said that if you hit a burglar with a cricket bat, you probably won't be prosecuted. And I thought, well, I better check this before I do it. So I rang my local MP, and he said it does actually depend on exactly what shot you're playing. And the current Home Office advice is you try a simple forward defensive on the burglar, or maybe just try and tuck the burglar away on the leg side for a cheeky single. Of course, the danger really comes if you try and smash the burglar straight back where he came from. You could get in all kinds of trouble, especially if the burglar moves late. So just try and see if he has one side of his face more shiny than the other. He could easily swing, I suppose. If he's over the age of 60 with a wrinkly face, he might even reverse swing, especially if you live in a dry house. But no, look, I think I'm overcomplicating things. The most important thing is move your feet decisively, forward or back, make a decision, stick to it, keep your front elbow high, try and watch the burglar all the way onto the bat, and just relax the wrist at the moment of contact. That will control the burglar into a safe area. Now, if he's coming at your head, the important thing is keep your eyes on him at all time, drop your knees, sway back. Don't turn away from it. It's fair trade a big issue in America, John.
Nice one.
Yeah, good one. Set you up.
I like it.
Yeah?
No.
No, okay.
No, it's not a problem.
It's not a problem. No. Yeah. No, that's good.
It's not a temptation.
No.
Yeah. They've kicked the habit that they never fully had.
So, who buys fair trade products here? Okay, a few of you, the rest of you, like me, waiting till it's fairer on our wallets. Because those bananas are a little bit expensive and fairness is supposed to be a duet. And at the moment, it's all Linda Ronstadt and not enough Aaron Neville.
Sure. Is there a room in the world where that joke lands, Andy? Or is there a time in world history where it lands?
Well, I guess mid-80s in a room full of fans of power ballads or the Ronstadt family. I guess so. But I think it's a wonderful thing in theory, fair trade, but in practice, it's kind of ridiculous. Because when you boil it down, fair trade is really nothing more than basic manners. Giving people the right price for their products. And I think it's really quite embarrassing for us in the wealthy nations of the world that we've reached a stage where fundamental human decency has to be marked out. That's not the punchline.
No.
Anyway. But
it's very rare you have to say this. You may have to laugh slightly less.
No, we don't. We've reached the point where fundamental human decency has to be marked out with its own label. You know, when I meet someone, I don't introduce myself by saying, "Hello, I'm Andy. I've never killed anyone. Where's my special sticker?" So, rather than praising fair trade, we really should be demonising unfair trade. And any product that isn't fairly traded should be legally forced to have a logo on it of an international businessman pissing on an African boy.
It's only fair.
Wouldn't even have to be that explicit, I don't think. Yeah, you wouldn't necessarily have to see the man's wang. But it's going to be a striking image, and an image that would really nag away deep at our subconsciences as we queue up in supermarkets with baskets full of shattered lives.
Nice sentence.
Yeah, well, that punchline doesn't fit on the end of many jokes. Or, judging on by your reaction, that joke.
It's all a little bit hypocritical, though, yeah, Andy, for you and I to hector these people. Is that an accurate use of the word hector?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
Why, it is now. To hector these people about, you know, fair trade, because, you know, we're guilty of some atrocities ourselves.
Yep.
It's hard to
high-grossing atrocities, but atrocities nonetheless.
All right.
He's got a puppy. He's got mouths to feed. Cut him some slack. He has a puppy with two mouths. Don't overfeed it, though, otherwise the meat gets a bit tough.
What, mate?
Sorry, wrong gig.
It's hard to write jokes. Andy and I have probably demonstrated that pretty well this evening. It's hard to write jokes, and so Andy and I have actually been forced to outsource our joke-writing operation to an 8-year-old Indonesian boy.
Yep, he's called Luluk Wahid. He lives and works in a hut on Java. Works, mostly. Yep. Got a couple of his blood-splattered notebooks here with the stuff
he's been busy. This is one of Luluk's. I like this. What's up with the guy hitting me with a big stick? What's going on there? So true. Well, it's so true.
No, it doesn't really hit home with a British audience, but it is quite neatly observed if you're an 8-year-old Indonesian boy. They kind of developed a bit from that and then got onto more kind of personal, reflective stuff, mostly stuff about how much he misses his parents. It's not laugh-out-loud funny, but it'll probably win an award.
Yeah. Especially if he gets an expensive haircut. That's the key.
That's right. So, but he's actually got quite a lot better. He sent me in this really good one the other day, John. He's kind of written some proper jokes. This is quite a good one. I took my wife to the city. Jakarta? No, she went of her own accord. Did that cut out? Did it cut out? Yes. I'll tell you what I regret, John.
What, Andy?
I regret never having read Edith Piaf's book of recipes for undressed salads.
I'm out.
Come back and take your fucking punishment. I regret that. I regret never reading Edith Piaf's book of recipes for undressed salads. Je ne vinaigrette rien. Testify. So, he can't handle the truth. Are there any issues that have not been adequately satirised in this gig that you feel should have been? Syria. What?
Over to you.
Well, why me, John?
I'm tired.
That, I think you have accurately reflected the response of the international community to the entire problem.
So. Wow, at 2 a.m, Andy.
Yeah.
That's a quality save.
Thank you very much. So it's the internet. They have the UN passed resolutions against Syria. Resolution 1583, which was. Oy vey. And that was about it. It's been, I think, all kicked off in Tunisia. The reaction of the British press was interesting. It was one of the most amazing democratic revolutions in modern history, powered by the internet. An amazing explosion of people power. But the way the British media reported it was, some British holidaymakers might get stuck. Was that the most relevant part of the story? And it shows the moral choices we make in this country. Yes, I love human rights, but I also love cheap beaches. Don't make me choose. It's like when we go shopping, you know, I don't like child labour, I think it's naughty, but at the same time I do like a bargain, and I do like my children to wear stuff made by their peer group. Like, shows them what they can achieve if they really put their minds to it. That's a lovely potato print, darling, but is it as good as this fully functioning shoe? No, buck your fucking ideas up. Got a few parenting tips there, John, for when you know,
when Hoagie gets bigger.
When Hoagie gets bigger, yeah, that's right. So, is this the problem? It's what you're not tired. You're just missing Hoagie. That's it, isn't it?
No, I am missing Hoagie. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You're not Hoagie. If you were Hoagie now, you'd be yapping at me and taking a dump outside, or indeed inside.
We've certainly had audiences that have facially looked like that's what they were doing. John, the past. So, any other issues?
Phone hacking.
To be honest, we were just asking bits from my show, and in case any of you do come to it, 4:25 across the road in Stand 3, I'm going to skip on that one. Since,
you've become Sting.
Sting.
You've become something that people shout out requests for.
Yeah.
You're doing your phone hacking stuff, he's going to get his lighter out and start waving it around in the air saying, oh, we got pregnant to this joke. This means so much to me. Something about Zaltzman's quips make me want to bang. Andy, if you don't stop this gig, I'm going to get more like this.
Really, to be honest, I'm starting to feel slightly relieved that you did leave the country when you did, John, if that is your view. So, I'm not doing the dog puns. Don't.
That's
you.
Yeah. The dog puns. That was a special evening. That wasn't to get pregnant. That was for fun.
And out of that, 9 weeks later, little Hoagie.
That's not funny. That's not funny.
Sorry? What was that? Chris. Or crisps. Thank you, Chris. Okay, there we go. So there we go. We'll pass that on. So, anything else? Audience high-fiving each other. Oh, I think this gig has been a success, John.
One by one.
One more. Any other issues you'd like?
Cameron's holidays.
I thought he was just... It kind of coincided with the riots. I thought he was just seeking exile in a Tuscan coffee shop. Maybe Saudi Arabia is so full of leaders now, he has to... Go to Tuscan. Oh, are you enjoying Coalition Britain or not?
It's great. It's great to watch from 3,000 miles away. It's great. It's very funny.
So, I think there's going to be a split in the coalition.
Yeah, here.
Yeah, testify.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you're terrible. You can't do that.
You're not in an audition now, John.
What's that, Gargamel? Shh, Vanity Smurf.
Shh. The Vanity Smurf was my wrestling name. I've forgotten what that record. Well, let's wrap this gig up, John. Since
it's past my bedtime by about 7 hours.
Really? But in America, it's 9 p.m. Do you go to bed at 4 in the afternoon?
Yeah. I live a very odd life. You cannot possibly understand. Don't let me talk.
Ooh, ooh.
Such an odd life. Oh, my God. I've turned the friendliest crowd in the fridge. This man has been nothing but lovely. Ooh, such an odd life. F*** you. We're working back here.
You do lead quite an odd life, though. You hit a home run in a charity baseball match, didn't you?
One pitch, one swing, home run. It's not that difficult, John, a game.
I've seen you play tennis. I've seen you attempt to play tennis and attempt to play cricket. And from that, I wouldn't have thought you had a central nervous system. So, baseball must be the easiest game in the world.
It is.
It is.
It's very simple.
But I think, we're both big sports fans, and I think we're going to leave you with this, because I think we can learn a lot from sports in this world, and the world is a very unfair place, and nothing more unfair than war. It's just like boxing, top-level boxing, a series of meaningless mismatches designed to line the pockets of the promoters and the advertisers, and you never get to see the bouts you really want to see. And so John and I, a little while ago, 2005 to be precise, we contacted the United Nations, and they've agreed they will learn from sport. And from now on, all wars are going to be fought strictly on a knockout basis. And we are delighted to be able to do the quarter-final draw for this year's wars here live in the stand this evening. So drawing the balls for the home teams, it's Mr. John Oliver.
Good evening.
And drawing the balls for the away teams, it's the former comedian and actor, John Oliver.
Good evening.
So let's hope some exciting wars. Here comes the first ball.
Number three, Russia.
Always strong at home.
We'll play number one, the United States of America.
Oh, that's the one the fan... That is the one the fans have wanted to see for years.
We're going to beat you.
Next out.
Number five, Great Britain.
Without a significant win in a while.
And you'll be waiting a lot longer if number one comes through. We'll play number three, India.
You've already had a number three, but we'll run with India anyway. Okay. It's been a while. Anyway, that should be closer than last time. Anyway, so.
Number seven, Rwanda.
They've got some very promising youngsters coming through.
We'll play number seven, Rwanda.
Well, would you believe it? These two age-old rivals drawn together yet again. It's another African local derby. The last one between these two was an absolute humdinger. Let's just hope more people tune in to watch it this time round. Don't worry, that is the line that makes it satirically valid.
And finally, number eight, Palestine.
Just happy to be here.
We'll play number four, Israel. And number one, the United States of America.
There you go. Still there. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks, sir. That man was John Oliver. Thanks to God and Daniel Kitson. And I've been Andy Zaltzman. Thanks very much. Good night. At ease. So, John, how do you think that went?
Well, Andy, you know, I left a few jokes on the field, but, you know, I enjoyed...
Oh, you're f***ing brilliant, mate! F***ing brilliant!
But, you know, I enjoyed it, and, you know, at the end of the day, I gave it 110%, and that's all the audience can ask for.
And do you think it might help rebuild the shattered remnants of your career on this side of the Atlantic?
Andy, some things are too broken to fix.
Testify. Thanks very much, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good night. Buy my book. All the proceeds are going to the Somalia Famine Relief Appeal, so if you don't buy it, you are murdering an African child. Sleep f***ing well.